The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from our remote Carter Subaru studio. Welcome to the weekend. Of course, if you're among the 1 million newly unemployed in our state, sadly, Monday feels like Wednesday, which feels like Saturday, which feels like Sunday, which feels like Monday. It's reaching crisis proportions. I cannot believe the coverage of this. We cannot believe what we're hearing from Jay Inslee. His press conference yesterday was such a bizarre mess. And, you know, it's now clear that we have a governor who doesn't know what he's doing, but he also just has this evil intent. The soundbite I played for you yesterday on how he sees this devastated economy and all of these devastated lives, business owners, unemployed people. And for some reason, most in the mainstream media are just parroting what the governor's telling us. And, you know, it reminded me of one of my all-time favorite videos of the people of our state, the people who are so easily manipulated. Not you. You listen to this radio show. You want information. You don't want to just get what's being spoon-fed to you everywhere. But the majority of people in our state, I happen to have some audio of them.
What do you want? When do you want it? How do you want it? Who's your daddy? What about your mom?
That's just the best. Our daddies are dada daddy. Jay Inslee. Dada, 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 dada. After we got off the air yesterday, Jay Inslee thankfully stole time from the Tom and Curly show. Because let's face it, all of us were getting sick and tired of him taking time from this radio show. Tom and Curly, meh. So I was kind of sequentially baffled and in a rage and just amazed at how convoluted the governor's messaging is on all of this. And here's what we know, factually. The governor just can't run anything. You know, he's the guy, Trump can't run a two-car funeral. No, he can't do a two-car funeral. And now that people's lives are on the line, their financial lives, well, as Jay Inslee would say.
I mean, they really can't run a two-car funeral when it comes right down to it.
I got to tell you, these people couldn't run a two-car funeral.
And then they're so incompetent, they can run a two-car funeral.
Good one, Jay. So they have shut down all unemployment benefits for 2 days in Washington state because scammers have skimmed more than $1.6 million, and that's what they are acknowledging now. The number is probably much higher in the multi-millions. But scammers using other people, and I've heard from so many people, where their entire workforce, you know, at a school district or at various companies, that these scammers are using databases of employees to steal uninsurance claims and benefits. And so you and I have paid millions of dollars to scammers who almost certainly will never be caught because the system was so awful and horribly managed. And Jay Inslee, I mean, the buck's got to stop somewhere. What's amazing to me is that this press conference yesterday, nobody asked him about the unemployment fraud. Nobody asks him about the fact that we've got hundreds of thousands of people who have been calling. I mean, I've heard the stories. You contact me. You've been calling 50, 100 times a day in a futile effort to get through to try to get unemployment benefits because you don't know how you're going to feed your family on this Friday night. And the mismanagement, Jay Inslee is at the very top, and he has to take responsibility for this. But he's only going to be held accountable if others in the more mainstream media, I mean, other than my radio show, who's calling him out on this? On these scammers? I mean, I know my buddy Todd Herman has been doing it on his morning show on KTTH. Who else is calling him out on the abject failure? And with all these databases, data, being compromised, and then Jay Inslee says, yeah, when you go out to a restaurant, give them your name, your phone number, your email address. And when they're having millions of dollars skimmed off of unemployment claims because of their mismanagement, and then in the next breath he tells us, yeah, give as much of your private info as possible to the state so you can go have a meal in a restaurant. But this press conference yesterday revealed what I think you and I have long known about Jay Inslee. He has gotten a free pass on his shortcomings. I'm going to be very charitable. He's gotten a free pass because he's a Democrat in a one-party state with media that is just a megaphone, an arm of his party. But let me go through just how bizarre this press conference was yesterday. And again, the things you're not going to hear anywhere else. So the whole point of this press conference was we're going to reopen more biz in the state whenever we get to phase two. And he had representatives from the auto industry and the restaurant industry and the retail industry. And the whole message was, we're going to reopen business.
We have some good news, I think, today about some of the successes people have had being able to open businesses and still maintain the health of themselves, their employees, and our communities.
Okay. So that's the whole underlying theme, right? Well, then 26 minutes later, almost precisely 25 minutes, 55 seconds later, in the exact same press conference, after Jay Inslee had introduced these people from the restaurant and retail and auto industries, saying, we're going to get you back to work and we're going to get customers back. And then he forgot. He forgot about the message of the meeting. And 26 minutes later, Jay Inslee said that he would not go out to any of these businesses, and he doesn't think we should either.
I don't want my family going out unless it's kind of necessary right now. The just anything that's going to involve particularly an inside interaction with people inside, particularly for anything that involves any length of time, is just too dangerous to do right now.
I'm sorry. That is a complete 180 from the entire message of this press conference. He would not take his family. He doesn't think you and I should go out. After telling us for 25 minutes, go to these restaurants. We've got these new regulations. And then he just forgot. And this reveals the sheer incompetency of what you and I are dealing with and, you know, the tragedy of the million newly unemployed, the business owners who can't sleep at night after putting their life's energy into an enterprise for years, decades in some cases. And then he just continued, yeah, don't go out, man. Don't go patronize any of these businesses. that a few minutes ago I told you to go patronize.
So we need still people to make individual judgments about what's really necessary to do right now. And if it's really not, and you're going to be inside exposed to other people, try to avoid it. And that's just going to help your health, and it's going to help people whose lives you may save.
I'm serious. That is as bizarre a 180, because politics is pretty tightly controlled, and they have a ton of people who spin their message. And he gave a completely different message on what he had been talking about for the half hour previous. And I will give credit. I'm sorry, I don't know Jerry's last name, but reporter Jerry at the Everett Herald, he noticed exactly what I'm talking about here. And he called Inslee out on it. And then Inslee just got lost. He was trying to spin it because he realized, I've completely screwed up the whole message of this press conference. And nice job by Jerry at the Everett Herald.
You had just had on representatives of retail and restaurants, and it was very upbeat. But your message seemed to be that you might not go to a restaurant or a retail store unless it's absolutely socially necessary. So I'm wondering if the public might be getting the message that the governor's not going to eat out when the restaurants open initially.
Well, no, look, when retail, when restaurants are open, they're going to open with good protocols and good hygiene practices. And we're going to make sure of that because we'll have protocols in place. And when that happens, I'll be very confident to go out to a restaurant because I know that we'll have protocols to keep people healthy, including my family. So, no, I won't be reluctant to do that at that point.
But you just said minutes earlier that you would not do that with your family, which was minutes after saying that we should all go patronize these places. And at that point, I realized that our boy's getting real dizzy here because he is spinning so furiously that he doesn't know which way is up right now. And the reason why this is so consequential is because we have millions and millions and millions of people whose financial lives are in the midst of destruction. And the guy who is issuing all of the edicts doesn't even know what he is saying. And that's where I say, you know, great credit to Jerry at the Everett Herald, who called Inslee out on that. But I watched all the TV news. I've listened to the radio news. I've read the other newspapers. And there's nothing about this. For some bizarre reason, they have decided to just give political cover to Jay Inslee when he is showing just sheer incompetency through all of this. And I'm scared. I mean, and the headline, Seattle Times, I just pulled it up. As reopening continues amid coronavirus, Inslee says he'll be confident going to a restaurant. That's the Seattle Times headline. Inslee says he'll be confident going to a restaurant. Here is what Jay Inslee actually said.
So we need still people to make individual judgments about what's really necessary.
Yeah, let me play this other one.
I don't want my family going out unless it's kind of necessary right now. Just anything that's going to involve particularly an inside interaction with people inside.
Which is sitting in a restaurant. So how does the Seattle Times come up with a headline that says, as reopening continues, Inslee says he'll be confident going to a restaurant? That's the exact opposite of what Jay Inslee said. Now, he also, at other points, said he would be confident, but that's where we're all in such dire trouble. Jay Inslee doesn't know what he's saying. He clearly doesn't know what he's doing. And, you know, these things, the spin just continues.
And I want to repeat, with my loved ones, I give them advice. There's, you know, you just should restrain any way you can reduce your physical interactions with people. You should consider doing that. But people go out and have curbside food from a restaurant today. I think that's great. Helps your restaurant. And I think there's a way to do that safely, in part because restaurants have been creative and we've come up with protocols to make sure it's done safely.
Curbside? Minutes earlier, you said you should go and be able to sit in the restaurant. We're screwed here. This is so mismanaged. It's so, pardon my bluntness, it's so stupid. And then Hannah Scott, our terrific reporter here at Cairo Radio, she asked a question because state workers, tens of thousands of state workers, while the private sector has gotten destroyed economically, all these private workers are supposed to, or government workers rather, are due to get a 3% raise on July 1st. And Hannah asked, are you going to reopen that when the private sector? And Inslee would not answer a great question.
Yesterday, you put a hiring freeze in place as well as a freeze on equipment purchases. Just wondering whether you have any plans to reopen state employee contracts before a 3% raise takes effect July 1st.
We have not made any decisions on a budget standpoint. We need to get a little better view on the fiscal future to make those decisions. I've been talking to legislative leadership. I was on a call this afternoon about that, starting to now look at some of the options, but we really have not made any decisions about potential options. What we do know is...
Seriously. So he wouldn't answer her question. We're headed for 30% unemployment in the private sector, which is going to be as bad or worse than the Great Depression. And then Hannah gets muted right after she asks her question, as do all reporters at these bogus press conferences. And Jay Inslee won't address if he's going to get... Why? Because he wants the votes of the state workers. And if he says that he may try to not give them a raise in the worst economic crisis, maybe in our nation's history, he's afraid he's going to lose votes. We're in real trouble with this guy in charge. All those sound bites prove it. I wish that more in the media would call him out on it. And that is your big lead for today.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Okay, what does this mean for restaurant owners? We're going to talk to a guy who owns a couple of restaurants down in Soto because my heart just breaks for these business owners. Family owns the restaurant. Business owners and the employees who are out of work. We'll talk about the lives that are affected by the incompetency at the top. Coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, as we talked about in the big lead, Governor Inslee does not have a plan. I mean, it was just absolutely shocking as the whole press conference yesterday was, you know, 40 minutes about we're going to get restaurants reopened. And then he says, after 40 minutes of that, he says that he would not go out with his family to a restaurant. And reporters called him out on he was just spinning like a top. He has no plan. And I got an email a couple of nights ago from a guy, Anthony, who said, Dory, my family owns two restaurants in Soto, and we are being crushed by these dictatorial actions by Inslee and his ilk. And the owner of the Hawk's Nest and also Pioneer Tacos and Tequila, Anthony Gallo, joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Anthony, I appreciate you reaching out to me. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely, Dory. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, and those are strong words in your email. We are being crushed by dictatorial actions. Explain the emotions and the reasoning behind those words.
Yeah, absolutely. So first, let me just clarify real quick. I'm not personally the owner. My wife and my father-in-law own two restaurants in Soto.
Got it. Okay.
So it's not me, but it's my immediate family. So yeah, I'm just as impacted as they are. And so we're down in Soto. Both of our businesses are located right next to T-Mobile Park and CenturyLink. So when these initial lockdowns on large gatherings went into effect, which was a couple of weeks before restaurants were ordered essentially to close, we had effectively already been closed. So much of our business is dependent on these events and large gatherings that these continued lockdowns are completely crushing us. There's nobody in Soto. We tried to open for a couple of weeks after the initial shutdown, and it just wasn't worth it for us financially. We weren't making any money. And so it put my wife and my father-in-law in a very tough position where now they have to basically find new jobs. And, you know, our entire lives, these restaurants were their entire lives. Everything that they owned, all of their energy, all of their time was dumped and put into these businesses to allow us to live. And now there's no end in sight to this. It doesn't make any sense.
No, and the problem is, Jay Inslee is our data daddy, and he's always talking about data. But you look around the country. In Georgia, they reopened restaurants and bars about 3 weeks ago, and some of the politicians and the media, they were all predicting gloom and doom, and deaths are going to skyrocket. And here we are 3 weeks later, and as of day before yesterday, the COVID cases were down about 18% in Georgia from where they were before the restaurants reopened. And all of the, you know, apocalyptic stuff that the politicians and media were predicting have not come to be. And that's where I imagine this has to be unbelievably frustrating for your family and for every other unemployed person, business owner, because there just don't seem to be any facts to back up what our government's doing to the economy.
No, there's no facts to back any of this up. And what's even more mind-blowing is the regulations that have been implemented on restaurants if they want to reopen. How is a restaurant supposed to open at 50% capacity and make a profit? I think a lot of people are under this presumption that business owners and restaurant owners are just these rich people who can just afford to be shut down but continue to pay their employees, when that's not the case. These restaurants provide my wife and my father-in-law with their livelihoods. We're not operating at 100% capacity allows us to pay our employees, and it allows my wife and father-in-law to make enough money that we can afford to live our regular lives. We don't live in big houses or drive fancy cars or anything like that. We're just regular people, like thousands of other small business owners around the state. And operating at 50% capacity just isn't going to cut it. It's going to cost us money to open at 50% capacity. And not only that, but if we have to pay 100% of our rent and 100% of our taxes operating at 50% capacity, there's just no way that we can do it. And not only that, but now the governor requiring that restaurants take down all of this personal information from people is just further discouraging people from wanting to go out and patronize our businesses. It makes no sense. There's no consistency here. Why do I have to give my information to a restaurant to sit down in a booth that has already been cleaned and sanitized under regular standards, yet I don't have to do anything when I walk into the grocery store with hundreds of other people who have been picking up the fruit and all these other items and touching it and then putting it back on the shelves? I mean, the restaurant industry is already adheres to very high standards from the Department of Health.
Sure.
We're already very safe, and there's no reason for this. It doesn't make any sense. There's no consistency being applied here.
And the other thing, Anthony, is, I mean, some of the rules are so arbitrary. My wife and I have three daughters and a son-in-law. So if the six of us want to go out to dinner, that is forbidden because it's parties of five
right.
or more. Or five or less. And I would love to see the science that says that it is safe to go out for parties of five or less, but we're contributing to a pandemic if there are six of us at the table. It is so arbitrary. And anybody, I mean, you don't have to be a scientist. You just have to have, you know, a tiny dollop of common sense to know that there's no facts or data to back up something that arbitrary.
No, there isn't. And, you know, if that was the case, then we would be happy to follow these rules. But, you know, Inslee, like you said, he loves to talk about the data, but never provides any meaningful data to suggest that what he's doing has any legitimacy to it whatsoever. It's so frustrating.
One of the other rules, the waiters have to stand 6 feet away from the table to take orders. What about serving the food? Are they going to just throw it to the
right.
customers from 6 feet away?
Yeah, we'll leave it on the ground here by your table, that, and then you can come and pick it up off the ground. That seems healthy to me.
Yeah.
I know, it makes no sense. And then they're also saying that you can't have any bar seating. And both of our restaurants have big bars. And as you know, most restaurants make the majority of their income on alcohol sales. Food profit is very, very slim. And so if you can't have people sitting up at the bar, if you can't have your restaurant full and people hanging out and drinking and, you know, just having a good time in a restaurant like we've done for our entire history, then there's no real opportunity for us here to make any kind of meaningful profit. So now we're looking at the prospect of, all right, well, how long, this is the big question for us, is how long will it realistically take before things return to a level at which we can profit like we used to? Because like I told you, that's the level that we have to be at in order for these businesses to be viable at all.
Right.
And if it sounds like there's not going to be any kind of meaningful sporting events for a number of months. Maybe football comes back. It already sounds like baseball likely won't have any fans this year if they even get a season going at all. So now we're faced with the prospect of, okay, are we looking at another year before we can get back to where we were? And if that's the case, well, we still have bills, you know, we still have our mortgages to pay and our car payments to pay. And so that's forcing my wife and father-in-law to have to get other jobs. And if it goes on for this long, I mean, unfortunately, we just might be in a place where we just can't do this anymore, and we might have to walk away.
I understand.
And it's so sad.
Yeah, it's very sad, and I don't think people realize how bad it's going to get, because we are looking at economic devastation because of just arbitrary nonsense regulations from our government. Well, Anthony, stay in touch with me. Let me know how you guys are doing down there, and I hope you can hang in there. Small business owners are the job creators. They are the tax providers, and government treats you like an enemy. And I despise that. That's how business owners are viewed by our local politicians.
Yeah, me too, Dory. Thank you so much. I appreciate everything you do, man. You're awesome.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. All right. Anthony Gallo, his family owns a couple of restaurants in Soto. Love to hear your thoughts on all this. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. And we do have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Oh, we've got a lot of stuff jam-packed into our fastest 15, which is coming up right after the top of the hour. Then you got the presidential campaign. That's still going on. And then there's Joe. I need to make a "and then there's Joe" theme song. Because every day, you know, uncompromising, enterprising, anything to tranquilize, and right on, Joe. Joe Biden, he is struggling from his basement. He's trying to do these roundtables, and it's just sadly coming across as gibberish more and more. And he was trying to make sense of this. I think he was trying to talk about the 85,000 who have died in America, supposedly, from coronavirus. And I say supposedly because wait until you hear about a death that has been classified as COVID-19. I'll tell you about that in the fastest 15. But he was trying to talk about the 85,000 who have died, but he got all confused with unemployment numbers, and it came out like this.
This is not a moment for excuses or deflections or blame game. We're in the middle of a pandemic that had cost us more than 85,000 jobs as of today. Lives of millions of jobs, you know, and we're in a position where, you know, we just got new unemployment insurance to this morning, numbers, 36.5 million claims since this crisis began, and almost 3 million new claims in the last week. The unemployment rate is nearing 15%, the highest it's been since the Great Depression, but I need not tell you all that. Of course, it's the least well-off or being hit the hardest. 40% of the households making $40,000 or less experienced a job loss.
You can tell that there's a complete disconnect between the words that he's reading and comprehension. He doesn't know what he's saying anymore. And he said something about Tara Reid, though, earlier today. He was talking about, you know, the woman who has accused him of sexually assaulting her. And, you know, her claims are, they have some question marks, but Joe's party raised the, or set the standard of all women must be believed. And he said this about Tara Reid.
What do you say to women who were ready to vote for Joe Biden, eager to vote for Joe Biden, but this gives them serious pause because they do believe Tara Reid and you're not going to change their mind about that? What would you say to them about their vote?
Well, I think they should vote their heart. And if they believe Tara Reid, they probably shouldn't vote for me.
That's weird. That's not a denial that he did it. Ed Murray did the same thing when he was guilty. Fast 15 is coming up next.